46. Marcus. Marcus opened one eye, his gaze slowly focusing on the flickering glow of the fire in the stove. The sound of Tariana singing to herself outside the shack, easing his concerns about her welfare. She'd peppered him with questions about his years in training, and he'd found himself telling her things that he'd never told anyone, had never had cause to. They were the stories of the 37th, which meant all of his men knew them, or had ones just like them, so only the more memorable moments ever came up in conversation over the campfire. And there was something very different between reminiscing with comrades about the tribulations that had bound them together and telling those same stories to someone who stood apart. It was, to a certain extent, easy to talk about his time at Lessendor, because the lie of his identity came before arriving at its gates, and the worst of what he'd done in his life had come after he'd left them. He told her of the many times Felix had concealed his illness, by either hiding him when he had an attack, or by pretending to be him to prevent one, for the night of the battle for Galena had been by no means the first instance, of how Servius had come to know, and the measures his big friend had taken to protect him. She'd been fascinated with his rise to command, pressing him for details of how he'd recognized that the instructors were always watching, grading, and measuring, determining which boys were leaders and which were followers. How the 6,000 or so children of their year had immediately fractured into gangs, loners did not fare well at Lessendor. And how they'd warred against one another in the side halls and dark hours, always jockeying for control. How he'd learned to trade in the currency of Lessendor, rations and perquisites and favors, recruiting when he could, using fists when politics failed, creating a gang full of the boys he needed, all of them loyal to a fault. He told her how with each passing year, the gangs grew larger in size and fewer in number. How in their third year, the teachers had split them out that way for war games, gang leaders forced to prove themselves as commanders, not just instigators of hallway brawls. How, at that point, he'd started sneaking into the library at every possible moment to listen in on the lessons of the older boys so as to learn the battle strategies earlier. How those same boys had beaten him bloody every time they caught him. How he'd given up his soap ration for months in exchange for the lesson notes of a sixth-year boy in officer training who'd been particularly fastidious in his washing habits. That had made Tariana laugh, her head tilted back to reveal the long column of her neck, the sound ringing through the shack.
You didn't wash with soap for 3 months?
Not quite, he confessed. Felix got tired of how bad I smelled, so he started to share his ration after a month. He explained how, when the 37th had been in their fourth year, the Commandant had selected 50 boys from their ranks for training in advanced strategy, and that the number had included Marcus and his inner circle, along with the two other remaining gang leaders and their circles. By the following year, it was down to him and Agrippa, and by their final year of training, Marcus had unofficially already been in command of the legion that would be named the 37th.
Weren't some of those boys angry about their loss of power?
Tariana asked.
Of course. But most were wise enough to fall in line, especially once they'd taken a beating or two.
And those who didn't?
It was tempting to lie, but instead he said,
As well you know, if a soldier is injured badly enough, he is discharged. And accidents happen. Usually with a nudge from Gibson, who even as a child had delighted in causing harm. But it had been Marcus who'd given the orders to see it done. Even now, he could remember standing back while Gibson and Felix had beaten Agrippa to within an inch of his life until he'd finally conceded to Marcus's authority. Or pretended to, at least. Part of him had always wondered if it hadn't just been the Bardenese girl who'd driven Agrippa to desert, but also the vestiges of rivalry between them. Whether it had always been inevitable.
If being in command meant making those decisions, why did you want it?
A question with many answers, all of them true.
If you're a second-born son of the Empire, there is almost no chance of escaping Legion recruitment, he finally said. And once you're in, the only way out is to die, to be discharged because your mind or body is broken beyond repair, or to desert. which almost always catches up with those who choose to do so. If you want to live, you try to find your place in the Legion, whether that is in the rank and file, or as a medic, or an engineer, or a commander. For me, that place was at the top. It felt as though her eyes, which had been a shade of blue so deep they were nearly black, had dug into his soul when she said,
"You didn't answer my question, Marcus."
Because he hated the answer. It was a way to survive. Which was true. Even with his illness aside, he'd been small and weak and know nothing about fighting. Having Felix and the others he recruited as defenders had saved his life. But that hadn't been what had driven him to the top. Like it was yesterday. He remembered overhearing the conversation between some sixth years who were about to graduate, about how their leader was being outfitted to go before the Senate in order to be sworn in as legatus. Remembered the moment he'd learned that every legatus of every year had that privilege. How it had gotten into his head that if he could win that top spot, it would be him standing in front of the Senate. A Senate of which his father was a member. That was what had driven him. Not standing before the men who controlled the empire, but standing before his father, Senator Gnaeus Domitius, year after year, through exhaustion and pain and terror. The vision of the moment where he'd stand before the Senate and his father would see that Marcus was not only alive, but the top of his year. Appear to those pampered men in togas, not because he'd been born to it, but because he'd earned it. The moment when his father realized that he'd made a mistake in choosing Marcus's brother over him. Then, that fateful day had come. The moment of triumph that had driven him for all those years. Marcus had walked into the Curia with Felix at his elbow. Both of them dressed in their new armor and regalia. Facing the sea of men in white, he'd scanned their ranks. Once, twice, three times. His father hadn't been there. Once one has a taste of power, it's hard to give up, he finally answered. And you know I like to be in control. Truth and a lie rolled into one.